and the powerful effect that our words have on other people. And what the scripture says really about a person's words is undeniably true, that the tongue has the power of life and death. Let's say it together. The tongue has the power of life and death. And those, the scripture says that those who love it eat its fruit. And we've had some fun with this series, right? We've had some fun with it. But on the other hand, I really believe that we've offered some clear challenges to make some changes in our lives, because we do complain way too much, don't we? Nobody's raising their hand on that one. We do complain way too much. And we do aim harsh and critical words towards others too much. And we do betray confidences, and we do great damage by passively listening to or sharing gossip about others. We do these things, and so God has been challenging us. So if anything, this series has caused each of us to examine our own words, hasn't it? And we've looked at the scriptures, and as we've looked at the scriptures, the way that we speak is really important to God. And how many think it should be important to us, right? It should be important to us, the way we speak. So today we are making this our last message in this series. I thought about doing maybe a talk on lying words, but I thought, well, we're going to move on. We don't want to end on that note, right? We're going to talk about this idea of being an encourager. Just this idea of being an encourager. And I'm not talking about some over-the-top motivational coach or personal trainer. That's not what I'm talking about, right? I'm talking about being the type of encourager that brings life to people, that brings hope to people, that instills courageous faith in other people. That's the kind of encourager that we're talking about today. I'm talking about the type of encourager who points people toward God, and toward God's ability, and toward God's power to change. Power to change, right? The type of encourager who brings timely words of encouragement that usher in the kingdom into people's lives. And so that's one of the reasons why we're kind of prompting you with some of these questions. Because we, as the people of God, as kingdom people, are supposed to be encouragers of others. Amen? And so, we are the ones who bring the wise words, or we're supposed to. We are the ones who are supposed to bring the prophetic words, the faith-inspiring words, the healing words. We are the ones who are God wants to be kingdom encouragers. That's what we're going to call it today. We want to be a kingdom encourager. And I don't believe I've ever said this in this particular series, but did you know encouragement is a piece of God's character, His own character, encouragement? That's who the Father is. That's who Jesus is. As part of His character is encouragement. You know, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 says, may our Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Everybody say Himself. May our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God our Father, who loved us and by His grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. See, here's the thing. Satan may wish to discourage you. People may wish to discourage you in your life. But the heart of Jesus is always to encourage you. The heart of Jesus is always to encourage you, to lift you up, to build you up, to raise you up. That's the heart of God. How many believe that? That's the heart of God. And so our whole goal as Christians is to become like Jesus in thought, in character, in action, and in our words. So part of growing and maturing as a Christian, because we never want to stay the same as a Christian. We always want to be continuing to grow and mature. Amen. Right? So part of growing and maturing as a Christian is to become more of a kingdom encourager. Who's in today? Well, let's pray and see what God has for us. Lord, we need encouraged. So many of us need encouraged. But we also need you to move us towards this ministry of being an encourager. And so, Lord, I pray that your Spirit would work, your Holy Spirit would work. Holy Spirit, come. And I know that you're here. I know that you're working. And in some cases, you're chiseling away at our hearts. And God, I just pray that you would work in this message today. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, what I've been trying to do these past few weeks is to get us in touch with our daily and sometimes very raw experience. The Christian faith is not solely an intellectual pursuit. Our faith is to be incarnational. And what I mean by that is that to be an incarnational Christian means that we consider it our responsibility to enflesh or to embody the godly principles and patterns that we find in the Word of God. That we are not just to be have just an intellectual Christian faith, but we are to really allow it to shape and mold and change and direct our lives, our faith. And so it's as the Scripture says, work out your salvation, right, with fear and trembling. Be doers of the Word and not just listeners only. And that's what we've been trying to do. And so many of you know that, I'll share this with you, many of you know that for the past 5 years I've been teaching a public speaking course at the college level. And I want to say something, because if my department head heard me saying this, she would cringe. But I'm going to say it anyway. Yeah? Maybe she's listening. Allison, don't listen to this. All right. It's not my goal that you hear a well-put-together and cohesive speech on a Sunday morning. That's not my goal. Not that I'm sloppy, because I don't mean to be sloppy, and not that I'm just throwing something together, but my desire is that we all be shaped by the Word of God and transformed by the Holy Spirit. Huh? I say all of that to say this. The reason that we need to be kingdom encouragers is that we all occasionally need assurance that we're doing a good job. Huh? The reason that we need to be kingdom encouragers is we need encouraged. Because we all face difficult choices all the time. And sometimes we're unsure what to do. And we need others to come into our lives to encourage us in our faith. How many believe that's true? Sometimes we need someone to recognize our abilities and just affirm us. I see this in you. You have just a compassionate heart. You have a really tender heart. And I just want you to know that God knows that. We need people to actually say those words to us. We need to know that God affirms us as well. Our experience, I don't know about you, is sometimes we just get faint-hearted. You get tired? How many get tired? Yeah, right? People are shooting their hands up, right? We get discouraged, and sometimes we feel alone, and we're overwhelmed by our circumstances. We need encouraged. We may need to be assured that God understands our situation. Maybe We need to know that He hears our prayers and He knows our pain, the pain that we're going through right now. We need to be kingdom encouragers because we all need to be encouraged. And there are some, especially new Christians, who just need reassurance in their faith now and then. We need, I'm going to say it again, I'm pounding this hard. We need for someone to encourage us because life can be extremely discouraging. Now, as we begin, I thought it would be good to define it. We all know what discouragement looks like. What does encouragement look like? Let's define it a bit. Encouragement. Encouragement involves verbal, like open your mouth stuff, right? Verbal affirmations that instill courage and perseverance and confidence and inspiration and hope. You can't be encouraged by someone if they don't open their mouth. I'm not going to ask you to open your mouth. Encouragement literally means to put courage on someone. That's what it means. And you might say encouragement is a courage infusion. It's encouragement is a hope infusion. You're giving them an infusion of confidence in their lives. How many have ever been encouraged by somebody? You walked away, you'd be like, yeah, I can do this. Right? I feel better about this. I feel better about me. You know, God is looking down. He does see me. He does see my circumstances, right? And it's such a powerful, powerful thing. So, interestingly enough, that in ancient Greece, encouragement was the word used to describe speeches by leaders and soldiers who were urging one another into battle. I mean, their rally cry, right? A soldier's rally cry, the word that was used there is encouragement. It's a power, it's a strong word. See, encouragement pushes people to a higher level than they ever thought they could attain. They ever thought was possible, they push them to that higher level. Encouragement causes people to take the high road rather than the low road, right? Encouragement causes people to see that, you know, to become better than they are, more committed than they are, more persevering than they otherwise would be. Encouragement takes someone who's ready to throw in the towel and give it all up and causes that person to keep going. All I'm asking, just keep moving forward in faith, one step at a time, one foot in front of the other. Don't give up. God is with you. Don't give up. God will strengthen you. Don't give up. Don't give up on Him. Don't give up on life. Don't give up on people. And so this kind of frames a little bit what we're going to talk about today, because the person we look to in the New Testament as our example, bar none, Barnabas, is the encourager. Par excellence, right? Encourager. And Barnabas was either a cousin or an uncle to Mark, the evangelist, who was also the writer of the gospel, right? The gospel of Mark. And he's first mentioned in the initial stages of the early church in Acts in chapter 4, where it says this. Just listen to this. It may be up there, right? Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus. He was a Greek. I just really noticed that right now. Whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money, and he put it at the apostles' feet. That's the very first time Barnabas is introduced. And we know the rest of that story. You know, Ananias and Sapphira came up behind Barnabas, and that didn't go well for them, right? We know that, but that's another message. But Levi, it says, Levi was such an encourager that the apostles gave him the nickname Barnabas, which means the son of encouragement. It was all over his life. I mean, quickly he was given a name change. No, your name's not Levi, you're Barnabas. I see it all over your life. You encourage so many people. You're the son of encouragement. Can you imagine what that would have done, first of all, to Barnabas? Imagine just the direction of his life, you know, just the course of his life would have just like, the trajectory would have just been poof in his life just by saying those words. No, Levi, you are a son of encouragement. You are the son of encouragement. And despite not being one of the original apostles, this is my opinion. Barnabas really should get equal playing time because he's one of the most influential men of the New Testament. Barnabas is. One of the most influential men of the New Testament, Barnabas. And he played a major role in the early history of the church, and he was a major influencer of the person who wrote more than half of the New Testament, the Apostle Paul. And Barnabas was the kind of person who always saw the good side of people. How many have a hard time with that? Right? It's like, it's hard. He saw past their failures to their potential for good. He made people feel big when they were feeling small. He made them feel hopeful when they had failed. Barnabas, he kept people going when they may have felt like giving up. And one more thing that I think that he really points out something to us, Barnabas does, about being an encourager is this. You have to care more about the fame and the success of other people than your own to be an encourager. You hear me? You must be willing to put yourself through great inconvenience and sacrifice what would have been best for you in order to see the other person succeed. In other words, your success doesn't matter. You're all about seeing that other person succeed, and you want to encourage them in the calling, in the gifts of their life. And so Barnabas, you see, he was this influential leader in the Jerusalem church, established leader in the first church of Jesus. He could have easily written one of the New Testament letters, I believe. He could have easily written one of those letters. And his activities, I think, could have easily just been highlighted throughout the New Testament, even the book of Acts. Barnabas's work, Barnabas's activity. You know, Barnabas went out on several missionary trips himself. Those aren't talked about so much. Why? Because he encouraged Paul. He wanted Paul to succeed. He saw the potential in Paul. He saw the gifts in Paul, and so he encouraged Paul. He made himself less than, and he increased the success of the Apostle Paul. And I think, honestly, this might be the very thing that keeps you and I from being an encourager is because, listen, we care a lot about being recognized. We care a lot about being looked up to by other people. And those two things, desires, keep us from being the encourager that we could be. Because honestly, in a lot of cases, it's more about us than it is about others. And so we need to learn what Barnabas did. You know, he says, it's not about me. It's not about me. It's not about my success. It's not about what I can do. It's not about that at all. It's about encouraging other people. And we first find this intersection of Paul and Barnabas when Paul was converted and he tried to reconcile with the Jerusalem church. And you can imagine how that went, right? Would you be quick to welcome someone who persecuted your friends and family members and who arranged for and oversaw their imprisonment and sometimes their execution? Would you be so quick to welcome someone who wanted to step into your group, right? And so this is the scene that we set, Acts chapter 9, if you want to look there. Acts chapter 9, verse 26. It says these words: when he came to Jerusalem, that is Saul, Paul, when he came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples. Right? Paul, Saul, the persecutor of Christians, who imprisoned Christians just for their faith, oversaw some of their executions, right, just because they proclaimed faith in Jesus. Saul, right, now converted, says he comes, he says he tries to join the disciples. It's not going to go well. But they were all afraid of him. Yeah. Not believing that he really was a disciple, the scripture says. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. And he told them how Saul on his journey had seen the Lord and that the Lord had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. So Saul stayed with them and moved about freely in Jerusalem, speaking boldly in the name of the Lord. He talked, he debated with Grecian Jews, but they tried to kill him. I think a lot of people wanted to kill Paul. I think a lot of people were after him. When the brothers learned this, they took him down to Caesarea. They sent him off to Tarsus. And then the church throughout the Judea, Galilee, and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace. And it was strengthened, encouraged by the Holy Spirit. It grew in numbers, living in the fear of the Lord. But what I want to say is this. Here we see Barnabas vouching for Paul. He believed in his conversion. He witnessed the transformation of his life, and he stood beside him. And what an encouragement it must have been for Paul to hear Barnabas say, "I believe in this guy." Can you imagine? "I believe in this guy, and you should too." And so here we have this intersection of Barnabas and Paul. And Barnabas is saying, "I'm with you, Paul. I'm beside you. I'm supporting you. I'm encouraging you. I believe in you. I believe in your gifts. I believe in your intellectual ability. I believe in your understanding of the scriptures. I believe that God has called you to be his chosen one, his apostle." The next intersection, the second intersection of Barnabas and Paul, is found in Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11, verses 19 through 26, if you want to look there. It says, "Now those who have been scattered by the persecution in connection with Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, Antioch, telling the message only to Jews. But some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to the Greeks, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus, and the Lord's hand was on them, and a great number of people believed, and they turned to the Lord, and news of this reached the ears of the church in Jerusalem." And who did they send? The scriptures, "And they sent Barnabas to Antioch. And when he arrived, he saw evidence of the grace of God, and he was glad, and he encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man. He was full of the Holy Spirit, full of faith. And a great number of people were brought to the Lord." Then Barnabas, you know, he could have been the hero right there in Antioch. He could have saw himself, I'm going to come in and I'm going to do great things, right? And he could have just stepped in and said, I'm going to be the hero here. But what did he do? But Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. And so for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. And the disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. Disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. Now, here we see that Barnabas quickly had become this trusted leader. Equal with some of the leaders in the early church, Jerusalem church. He was sent to Antioch, encourage and give prophetic direction to these Gentiles who were responding to the word of God, right? I just want to say this. He was the first person who understood what God was doing by bringing Gentiles into the church. He got it. He understood it. He understood what God was doing. And he felt like this was a crucial historical moment. Antioch. Crucial moment for the church of Jesus that was birthed. What does he do? He goes and he hunts Paul up and he brings him back to Antioch. And I want you to think this way. It was Barnabas who mentored Paul, not the other way around. Barnabas mentored Paul, and together they taught large numbers of Gentiles who had recently come to faith in him. It wasn't Saul and Barnabas. It was Barnabas and Saul. Barnabas was the lead in this whole thing. Now, depending upon your sources, Google it. Google top 10 most important influential people in human history. I dare you. Go ahead. Depending upon the sources, all right, Paul is listed in almost all of those sources in the top 10 most important influential people in all of human history. Paul. He's a big deal. But we could say that if it wasn't for Barnabas' encouragement and belief in Paul, the New Testament might look different today. The shape of Christianity might look differently. Paul may have been well down the list of the church's influencers and leaders if it hadn't been for Barnabas. You see, because this is important. We need to understand this. Kingdom encouragers shape the personal histories of people. I mean, they can make a lasting difference in another person's life. A kingdom encouragers shape the personal histories of people and sometimes history itself. Sometimes the whole of history. We're not done yet. There's another intersection that involves Barnabas and Paul and a young man named Mark. And after Antioch, Barnabas and Paul, they are sent off on their first missionary journey. Paul had three particular journeys where he basically traveled the known world at the time. In fact, I think he said in one particular place, there's no more places for me to go. I've been to them all, right? They're traveling around the known world. They're spreading the message of Jesus. In Acts chapter 15, it says this in verse 36. It says, sometime later, Paul said to Barnabas, let's go back and visit the brothers in all the towns where we preached the word of the Lord and see how they were doing, right? So they made one circuit. They get done. And Paul says, hey, Barney. I thought that was funnier than what it was, right? Right. It's good that you can amuse yourself, right? He said, why don't we just do it again, right? Paul's ambitious, right? He's type A ambitious. Let's do it, right? And so he says, hey, Barnabas, let's do this thing again, all right? And Barnabas wanted to take Mark with them. Paul says he didn't think it was wise to take him because Mark had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in the work. And they had such a sharp disagreement, Barnabas and Paul, that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark, sailed for Cyprus. Paul chose Silas and left. And then they were commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord. So they have this argument. I mean, so sharp, they said, we can't do this thing together. We might as well just part ways. I don't agree with you. You don't agree with me. So two different directions. So what happened? So well, somewhere in the middle of their first trip, Mark bailed on them. We don't know why he left. And he didn't continue. We don't know why. Maybe the trip was too difficult for him. I mean, have you ever read some of the things that Paul went through as he traveled? Shipwrecks, beatings, floggings. Mark says, oh, I'm not ready for this. Maybe that was it. I don't know. Maybe there was some personality conflicts. There usually are, aren't there? Maybe Mark got sick in Pamphylia. Maybe he was homesick. He just wanted to go home. You ever have that? Just want to go home. Whatever the reason, Paul considered it a desertion. Barnabas wanted to give Mark another chance. Barnabas wanted to put some courage back into Mark. Barnabas went to bat for Mark. And what he did was he communicated a very important message, I think, to John Mark. What he said, I think, by sticking up for him, say, no, we should take Mark. We should take him. I know he left, but we should take him again. I think what it communicated to Mark was, Mark, you can be useful to God again. You don't have to be put on the back burner of ministry. You don't have to sit on the ministry bench. You can get back in the lineup. Mark, you get another chance. And Barnabas, he accepted Mark for what he could become, not for what he was, or not the failure that he committed. Hear me. Listen to that. Now, I want you to pause for just a moment because there's a message here for us. When people fail in general, or in particular fail us, how do you treat them? How do you treat them? Do we shame them with our words? Are we critical towards them? Are we condescending over them or towards them? Well, that's just terrible what you did. It's terrible. Leaving us there, we were involved in ministry and you just bailed. You just left. It's so weak of you to do that. So weak-willed, Mark. Why? That was awful. You should have known better to do something like, we taught you better. But you left. That's awful. That's terrible. Let me press a little deeper. Is our attitude once a failure, always a failure when it comes to other people? Do we let people remain failures? Or are we willing to encourage them and see them restored? You see, we're talking about applying grace. Grace. And you know the thing about grace is everybody wants to receive it, but they're not so quick to offer it, to give it away. I think it's important to remember that God is in the business of restoring failures. That's His business. That's the business of Jesus, is to restore failures. And one of the biggest ways that we can be an encourager is to come alongside of someone who has morally failed and to encourage them. They failed. They know it. You know it. Others know it. But you come alongside of them and you encourage them. You want to see them restored. God help us in that. I want to finish by giving us some practicals and a challenge, and then we'll just pray and invite the Holy Spirit. But one of the practicals, I think, is, when we talk about encouragement, is this. One way we can be an encourager is to inject courage and hope into someone who's going through a big change in their life. Maybe it's someone who recently lost their spouse. Maybe someone who is about to have their first child. Maybe it's someone who's getting married or someone who's recently moved to town. They're trying to get acclimated. A big change in their life. And it's a great time to come alongside and to give them some verbal encouragement. To speak words of hope to them. You can do this, right? It's going to be okay. You'll make it through. You will succeed. I will help you in that. I'll pray for you. God is with you. God is for you in this change. And He's leading you in this change. His presence is with you. And we can say all these kinds of things out loud. Everybody say it. Out loud. At a point where people are going through a big change in their life. And we all go through them. Big changes in our lives. So that's the first thing. The second thing is this. Slow down your busy life and take time with others and listen. Slow your roll, as some would say. All right? Just slow it down. Because a good encourager takes time for others and makes them feel special. And they rejoice in people's personal victories. And they're sincerely excited for them. Right? Slow down. Thirdly, building others up doesn't come naturally. Some people have a gift for encouraging other people, but most of us just have to work at it. Trust me, you just have to work at it. Right? And so we need to be... Here's my practical. We need to be willing to step out of our own stuff and look for opportunities to encourage another person, people even in this room. Just step out of your own stuff. You got stuff? I got stuff. I got stuff. You don't want to know about the stuff, right? We all got stuff that we're dealing with. And we need to invite the Holy Spirit into our day. And so I'm going to offer this prayer to you. A good prayer to pray each morning would be this. Holy Spirit, let's just say it together. Holy Spirit, help me today to detect signs of discouragement in others and give me words of encouragement that will benefit them. You want to know a quick way to step out of your stuff is to pray that prayer. And just be looking opportunities. where you can encourage somebody else. Look for the places where they're discouraged and bring encouragement. Bring encouragement. Now the challenge. Here's the challenge. Encouragement is a responsibility of all of us. It's not like some of us need to be encouraged and there are others that are the encouragers. Right? We all need to be encouragers and we all need to be encouraged. It's the responsibility of all of us as a kingdom encourager. So, if you're like me, to receive an encouraging word, somebody come up to you, they pull you aside, they grab your arm, and they just say, hey, I just want you to know you're doing a good job. Or that message last week was, you know, spot on. You know, it really meant a lot to me, and I just wanted you to know that, you know, that I really sense that blah, 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 blah. To have somebody pull you aside, grab your arm, stop you, encourage you, is gold. You could ride for weeks on that. How about a handwritten note? Somebody writes you a note, you get it in the mail, an email. Okay, Facebook Messenger. You get one of those too. That's a thing now, right? And you get this encouraging message. Surprised. It comes from left field, right? You weren't expecting it. It comes and just like, whoo, I'm going to ride on this wave for a while. This is so encouraging. Anybody, have you ever had that experience? Yeah, two people have. We got a work to do, which is my challenge. This is exactly my challenge. Ask the Holy Spirit who you can encourage this month. Let's blow this month up. Let's blow the vineyard up, this church, with encouragement. Right? Let us be known as a church that encourages, that is full of people who are kingdom. Who's in? Are you in? Let's just blow this place up. Right. Michael's in. Let's blow this place up with encouragement. I'm in. We need to do this. Right? We need to be kingdom encouragers. You know that verse I shared with you about in communion time from Hebrews. Talks about Jesus opened this way, this new way, new and living way. He opened it to us. He made relationship with God accessible, you know, and he gives us then a proper responses that we're to make. Let us. We're to be lettuce Christians. It's really corny, isn't it? It's really bad. You got it. Yeah. Let us draw near to God. Let us cling to the hope, the eternal hope of heaven he's given us, the scripture says. Let us spur one another on toward love and good deeds, all in the same passage. And then the last thing it says is, let us not forsake gathering together. Let us gather together, why? To encourage one another. As long as it's called today. Amen? And so that's my challenge, is that we just blow this place apart with encouragement. Amen? Let's pray. There's a couple things I think the Lord wants to do. Holy Spirit, we just invite you to help us in this moment. Come, Lord. This sounds really generic, but I think for some of you, I think you really have a desire to respond to this. Those that really want to be a Barnabas, you really want to be a son or a daughter of encouragement. You want to really encourage others. You want to be able to offer timely words, encouraging words, Holy Spirit-empowered words to others in the congregation and even out beyond. You want to be known for that. You want to be used in that way. I just invite you to stand where you are. And by standing, you're saying, I want to be a kingdom encourager. I do. I really do. Lord, come. Lead us in that way. If the desire is not there, place it there. Reveal in all of us the places where it's all about us. It's about our stuff. Maybe our recognition or success is important. Move, Lord. Now, I think there's a couple different people that we want to minister to, those who are going through a change in your life, a transition in your life, something new, something big and something new, and you really need some encouragement and you really need some prayer, somebody to just encourage you and pray with you. We created some extra space over here to my left, some extra space just for those who need prayer. And so if you're going through some transition or change, something in your life that's changing and you need some encouragement in prayer, there's some already. I know that you need to respond and see it. The Holy Spirit's all over you right now. Just make your way over to my left, over to that space, over by that little decoration. Or I don't know what to call that, right? Just make your way right now. Just right now, go over there, and some of our prayer team, just go over there right now, and they'll meet you there. All right. So there's a transition. There's a big change. I know there's. I see a few of you even right now. The Lord's working on your hearts. Yeah. Just go. Just go right now. A big change, a big transition in your life. Something significant. Yeah, you need encouraged. You need somebody to pray with you and give you courage, give you strength to meet that transition in your life. Yeah, right there. All right, there's a few of you here that you've tripped up and you've made a significant mistake and you feel like a failure. And if you feel like that's you and you don't know what to do with it, but you need encouraged, If you would be brave and courageous, I'll meet you over here to my right, the communion table. and we'll pray with you. You've tripped up. You've tripped up. There's been a failure. You feel like a failure. Maybe you have actually failed in some way, and you really need some encouragement. Just give you a few moments and you can just go over there. Just get encouraged today. God, blow us up with encouragement. Blow this place apart with Holy Spirit encouragement. That words would flow out of our hearts and out of our mouths, bringing encouragement and life and hope and even prophetic direction, Lord, to other people. Lord, I pray that we could just feel free to open our mouths with encouragement, Lord. Yes, Lord. You're so good. You're so good. If you need some more prayer or you need some prayer, I encourage you to make your way to the places we've directed and somebody will pray with you. Amen. Be blessed. Be encouraged. Be an encourager. Go with the strength of God. Amen. Amen.